Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
...15% survival rate. I'll take those odds. I'm Kelly.
I don't want to be a roller boaster, but I've designed loops that can kill. I'm Andy.
I don't know about you, but the Black Marlin sounds like a pretty cool superhero name. I'm Adam.
Hello, my name's Sean, and today we're talking about speed on Acid Pop.
Welcome to Acid Pop, everyone. Today, we gotta go fast, because we're talking about speed.
Go, and
go,
hedgehogs.
Go.
Which, just to be clear, we're not talking about the drug speed. Maybe we'll return to that at a later date. But today, we're talking about going real fast.
No, I wanted to hear about how housewives got their kicks in the 40s.
The word speed comes from Old English speed, which is weird. Like, the words I'm going to talk about, I don't quite know how they got to mean going fast, because Old English sped was associated with prosperity, success, and good luck. So it did have some association with quickness, and over the years it took a long winding journey through Europe, and when it came out the other side, it meant going fast.
It's life in the fast lane,
as prosperous people always do.
Yeah. And fast comes from Middle English fast, but that originally meant was more like steadfast or solid.
The opposite of speed.
Yeah, really. I mean, it was sort of associated with like heavy.
The heck? Well, where did all this stuff come from?
Here you go. Obviously, that guy is well off enough that he looks like he'd be steadfast, and he's going really fast, so you can tell that he's like both of those words combined.
Yeah, not too far off. It sort of was associated with hard, and then at some point it got associated with to ride hard, and ride hard sort of meant ride fast, and so it eventually just settled out on fast.
Good for us. Good language you got here, English.
Yeah.
I was thinking it might be one of those bad means good instances.
Yeah. Lastly, since we're going to be talking about G-forces off and on, the root of the word gravity comes from Latin gravis, meaning heavy.
There you go. That one makes sense.
That one's easier. Thank you, Latin.
Yep. So all of those three words basically mean slow, heavy, and solid, which is
medium.
Odd. Yeah. So there is a phobia. Tachophobia is the fear of speed. And this can be traveling, like in a car or a plane, doing something like eating or talking, or by being hit by something moving fast.
So could never join the Air Force.
Yeah.
Going fast in something, you're forced to eat fast during mess.
Same root there as tachycardia, I assume.
Yeah, and tachometer, which, you know, is the speedometer in your car.
I just always call it a speedometer. I'm not too fancy.
And that's from Greek tachos, which means speed or going fast. But I was happy to learn that tachometer, where that came from.
Yeah, just tacked it on there, didn't you?
Ho-ho! So I've got a long and winding Acid Pop quiz today, which is going to cover most of our subject matter. I've got a few stories after, but mostly this one's all about the pop quiz. So first, true/false. No car has ever broken Mach 1, which is the speed of sound.
I'm going to say false. I've seen those cars do their speed thing in the desert.
Yeah, I think that's false.
I mean, whips break the sound barrier, right?
My whip outside.
Very tip.
I'm going to say, just to give us some balance, I'm going to say that's true.
Well, it is in fact false. A car did break Mach 1, and this was on October 15th, 1997. Andy Green piloting the Thrust SSC in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada. So, yep, you got it there, Andy.
I've been there. I've seen the car.
Yeah. It went 763 miles per hour, or 1,228 kilometers per hour, which is 1.02 Mach. So it made it, but just barely.
Then it stopped on a dime. Really good car.
Well, it did this covering 1 mile. So for the record, it means it went that mile in 5 seconds.
Oh, my.
But yeah, that is the fastest car's ever gone, and that was over 20 years ago. So that's pushing the limits of what things on the ground can do.
Come on, Elon Musk, get to it.
Yeah, too much faster, and you're probably just going to be a plane.
Don't tell him, he's busy enough.
Man in a car named Thrust made it for a whole 5 seconds? Good for him.
So, true or false, no boat has ever broken Mach 1.
Ooh, I don't know. I've seen those fancy desert boats.
We heard tell of water out here in the desert.
I'm going to say false and hope that somebody's done a cool boat.
Like, I've seen some of the boat races that they do, and whenever they get going too fast, the boats always seem to disintegrate.
It's true.
I don't think it's gone that fast before, but I don't know.
I'm sticking with true and hoping for the best.
Well, it is true. The fastest boat was the Spirit of Australia, piloted by Ken Warby, which, if there's a more Australian name, I'd like to hear it. And this was in 1978, and he went 318 miles per hour, or 511 kilometers per hour.
So about half of what that car could do.
Yeah, yeah. Over the lifetime of this record, the fatality rate of people trying to break it is estimated at 85%. So since this record was set in 1978, two people have died trying to break it, but no one has broken it yet. But that doesn't mean people have stopped trying, because they certainly are.
Need a lightweight material to make my boat out of. Glass. Glass is lightweight.
What's the maimed numbers?
Yeah, I don't know. I think once you get going that fast, if you have an accident, the survival rate drops pretty fast.
Oh, once we get going that fast, I'm going to have an accident.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the G-force pulling it out of you.
I found a list on Wikipedia, which, as we all know, we can trust more than any other source. And yeah, on the top 10 fastest animals, all of them were birds. True or false?
I'd say true. It's that airplane thing we were talking about.
All 10, though.
All 10.
That seems like a lot. There couldn't possibly be that many birds.
I mean, penguins don't look that fast.
Yeah. Wait, but penguins don't fly. But they would still be in the running for birds. I'm a biologist.
They get on their bellies and just whoosh away.
I'm going to say true.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to say false.
It is false.
Ha!
There is one exception. In slot number 8, we have a fish.
A fish. Yeah.
We already said penguins are birds.
So the black marlin can reach speeds of 80 miles per hour. Or 129 wow. kilometers per hour.
That's Why does a fish need Black Marlin? To go that fast?
That's a very good question. So this fish is a big fish. It can be 15 feet or 4.65 meters in length, and it can weigh up to 1,650 pounds or 750 kilograms.
Even before you said it was a giant, I was imagining getting one on my fishing pole and having it take off at 80 miles per hour.
Yeah, with your arms in tow.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, you actually got how they clocked it. They didn't clock the fish itself. They clocked a fishing reel unwinding at 80 miles per hour.
Just before it burst into flames.
Yeah.
God, did I catch Satan?
That's a crazy fast fish. It's basically a big swordfish, so I guess...
That's a pretty cool name, too.
Yeah. So, true or false, the fastest mammal is the cheetah.
I'm gonna go with false.
This seems like a trick. False.
Ranger Rick wouldn't lie to me. That's true.
It's false.
Take that, Kelly.
The fastest mammal is the Mexican free-tailed bat.
You know, I was going to say bat, but...
Bats are so bad at flying,
I don't really have
anything
to base it off of.
It's true. They just bank at that speed.
All these animals with air superiority.
Yeah. That's definitely the easiest place to go fast. So the Mexican free-tailed bat can travel at 99 miles per hour, or 160 kilometers per hour.
I feel like falling is cheating.
Well, I can't even fall that fast.
That thing will snatch an apple right out of your hand and take the hand with it.
It also has knives.
Yes, the knife bat.
Leaves your palm but takes the fingers. And our last true false, there is an animal that can kill its prey without touching it.
That one's true.
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 Yeah, that one's kind of easy one. It was true. Do you guys know which animal it is?
Is it the mantis shrimp?
Me.
It is the mantis shrimp.
Oh, yeah, because it creates that pressure.
Yeah, but it still creates impact at the beginning.
It doesn't have to, is the thing.
Okay.
So for those of you that are unfamiliar with the mantis shrimp, it is a tiny little shrimp that can basically shoot out its claws, or in the mantis shrimp's case, it basically has like a big cudgel. But
well, you say tiny, it's a good like almost foot long, I think.
Well, sure, but I mean the black marlin is 15 feet long.
I'm not saying I couldn't take one in a fight, but that's a pretty big shrimp.
Yeah. Sure, I could take one in a fight.
But when it shoots its claw out, it generates 10,000 G's of force, and the impact imparts 1,500 newtons to whatever it happens to be striking at. So even if it misses, the shockwave that it creates is enough to kill its prey.
Generates a lot of cookies when it hits.
Has a human ever been hit by one of those?
I don't know if a human's ever been hit, but I do know that you can't keep them in aquariums because they have a bad habit of shattering the tanks that they're in.
Well, yeah, they're basically gigantic. They're Popeye the shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah. They have tattoos on their club arms.
You'll just hear, egg, 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 egg.
The collapsing shockwave will sonolumines, which means it creates light from the explosion that it makes with its little hands.
It cavitates the water.
Yeah.
Like it hits so hard and fast that the water like instantly evaporates and collapses again.
Yep. My goodness.
Yep. So it basically kills its prey with tiny explosions, or implosions if you want to get really technical. But either way, it's a badass little shrimp.
You ever feel like evolution gave you the short end of the stick?
Yeah, and I'm not even getting into their eyes, which is a whole other world of fun.
You could gaze into them for hours.
They're so soulful.
How fast is the world's fastest plane in Mach's?
Didn't the Concorde... Well, the Concorde was that's not the fastest plane. Fastest consumer plane.
Yep.
Let's say Mach 6.
Okay.
10 Mach's.
10. All right.
Can I phone a friend? I've got a little brother who's really into planes.
Oh, yeah. He'd probably know.
I bet he would. Let's go. Let's split the difference. Mach 8?
Oh, well, Andy's the closest without going over. It was 6.7 Mach's, which is 4,520 miles per hour, or 7,274 kilometers per hour.
Because I figured after a certain speed, humans just don't function.
Well, this was the X-15, and for this record, it was piloted by Peter Knight. And this thing is crazy. To keep it stable and flying in a straight line, it has such a big tail that it can't take off. So it basically has to be stuffed into a B-52, flown into the air, and then dropped.
So this thing has no practical purpose other than nope. Seeing how fast we can go.
Yep.
Did that plane just give birth? Oh, shit, that baby's fast.
And it also goes so fast that it can't have flaps like a regular plane. So it has rockets like a spaceship.
We designed a plane that has no practical use. Thank us later.
Yeah. Thanks, science.
So its record was set on October 3rd, 1967. And at that point, they pretty much were like, unless we're going to space, we don't need to go this fast. So they've been ramping it down since then.
Any faster, we'll cut the Earth in half.
So the fastest animal on the planet is the peregrine falcon. So how fast can it go?
As fast as two Gokus.
What about nimbus?
I'm going to say 120 miles per hour.
130.
You bastards.
Fish was going 80.
Yeah.
You said it was number 8 on the list.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say 140.
Well, yep. Kelly plays the game and wins.
Wow.
It is 242 miles per hour.
Oh, geez. Mr. Falcon.
Not even close.
389 kilometers per hour. This bird, I don't know if you've seen this bird, but it basically just like forms itself up into a football in the sky and just dive bombs the hell out of whatever it wants to eat. It feeds exclusively on smaller birds. So when it dive bombs, it does it typically from a height of about 0.6 miles or 1 kilometer.
Yeah, well, you got to be pretty fast to catch other birds. And do you think they even know it was coming?
Sometimes they do. And sometimes they try and like bank out of the way. And then the peregrine falcon will like swoop up on the bottom and catch them coming back up because they've still got all that speed.
I need YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool bird.
Very prevalent in cities.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they've adapted well to urban stuff.
Pigeons are delicious.
Damn pigeons.
Yeah. So what is the fastest a human has ever gone?
Like running?
No, in a thing.
Well, it's got to be the guy in the plane,
Just, that guy?
Yeah, but
nope.
That was just planes. What about spaceships and stuff?
You're on the right track.
Forgot about space.
Definitely happened in space.
1,200 miles per hour.
Wow.
Okay.
What was the plane?
Well, okay. So the speed of sound is roughly 760 miles per hour. That plane we talked about earlier went Mach 6.7. So went like 4,000 miles per hour. So
I'm very conservative.
are we talking miles per hour or mocks?
I meant 120,000 miles per hour.
There you go. I'll take either, but I've got a number here that's in miles per hour, but I can convert it.
I will go to Mach 10 again.
9,000. That's miles per hour. It's not mocks.
Yeah. So I think in that case, Kelly is the fastest or the closest without going over.
The fastest without going over.
So it was 24,791 miles per hour, which is about 40,000 kilometers per hour.
It's too fast.
So that's, or wait, what did you say, Adam?
10 Mach.
Oh, actually, then I guess it's you, because that's Mach 32.
Stealing my points from me, Adam.
Just on technicalities, the only points that matter.
Oh, no, wait, hold on a second. Mach 10
Damn it.
Would be 7,000. So no, it's back to Kelly.
Enough with these recounts.
Mwahahaha.
So any guesses on what this was?
Sure. It's got to be a rocket.
It has to be some sort of Russian spacecraft.
No, actually, it was the Apollo 10 lander on reentry.
Yeah,
that's pretty fast.
Yeah, really crazy fast.
Their biscuits were burning.
Did they survive?
They did survive on that trip. Some of the other Apollos, not so much. So that was the fastest a person has ever gone. So just so we've got our numbers clear again, that was 24,700 miles per hour. What is the fastest man-made object, or how fast was the fastest man-made object going?
24,000. I'm going to double it. We're going with 48,000 miles per hour.
All right.
60,000.
Okay.
I'm going to go big. 100,000.
Kelly's the closest without going over.
What? Stop making things so fast, guys.
The correct answer is 147,000 miles per hour, which is 237,000 kilometers per hour. And just so we're clear, this is at a minimum. It's entirely possible it was going faster.
Is there a rail gun?
Not too far off the mark. So this is what happened. In 1955, scientists in Los Alamos were trying to figure out if they could test nuclear bombs underground because that would be safer than blowing them up in the atmosphere. Less radiation all around. So what they did is they built a pipe that was 400 feet deep, which is 121 meters, and they put a bomb at the bottom, and then they put a 4 foot wide or 1.2 meter and then 1,000 pound or 454 kilogram steel manhole cover on top of this tube. And then they
had to put a cork in it.
Yeah, essentially. And then they detonated a bomb at the bottom. So to see what happened, they had a high-speed camera that was parked a ways away and could see the top of the shaft and a quarter mile above it. And this high-speed camera was taking 160 frames per second. So it caught one frame of the the manhole cover in place, and then on the next frame, it was no longer visible.
Never existed again.
So that means it went a quarter of a mile in less than 160th of a second.
Oh, crap.
So depending on when they caught it, it might have been going a hell of a lot faster even than that. This is roughly 6 times escape velocity. But people aren't really, it was never found. We don't know what happened to it. But one of two things happened. Either it shot off into space or it ripped itself apart trying to get out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I was going to say the Mars rover might find it.
Yeah.
When the aliens finally invade, it's going to be because a manhole cover shot through one of their windshields.
A giant's going to come down with a manhole cover planted in his forehead.
Please return to Los Alamos.
Why did we put our address on it? All right, and for our final fill-in-the-blank question, what is the fastest wind speed ever recorded?
Hurricanes get pretty fast. I'm going to go...
probably less than the last couple speeds we were hearing.
I'm going to say Mach 1.
Wow.
Mach 1, wow.
This tornado broke the sound barrier, so once you got inside of it, it was just silence.
And the wind would blow past before you could hear it. I'm going to say 200 miles an hour.
Okay.
200 feels right.
Just feels right.
300.
Whoa. Well, in this case, Adam is the closest without going over.
Shame on you.
The record holder is from Cyclone Olivia on April 10th, 1996 at 253 miles per hour, which is 408 kilometers per hour. That's number one. That was during a hurricane. But I actually want to talk about the number two record, which was 231 miles per hour or 372 kilometers per hour. And this was recorded on top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire.
Just happening?
Yep, just happening. So this was taken at a weather station up there that is basically hailed as the weather station that experiences the most extreme weather on Earth. Mount Washington sits, or the weather station on top of Mount Washington sits at 6,288 feet, or 1,917 meters above sea level. This mountain is just crazy.
Just the worst.
So it's the most awful mountain we could have found.
Yeah. It receives, on average, 8 feet of precipitation a year, and most of that is as snow.
This mountain is underwater.
The record on this mountain is 4 feet of snow, or 1.2 meters, in less than 24 hours.
I thought he was going to say like 24 seconds. I was about to shit a break.
The mountain has an average of 16 days a year where the temperature gets above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Which
That's almost t-shirt weather.
Yeah, 15 degrees Celsius. And the highest temperature ever recorded there was 72 degrees Fahrenheit, or 22 degrees Celsius.
Downright toasty.
That was a nice day.
Yeah.
If you could breathe.
June, July, August, and September are the only months where the temperature has not dropped below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, or negative 17 degrees Celsius. And it has never had a month without snow. In addition to being damned cold up there, it also averages 110 days a year with hurricane-force winds.
This mountain sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And if you go look up pictures of this thing, it looks like a snow wizard just came through and blasted everything he saw.
A snow wizard came and kissed the mountain and it was cursed.
So we all know about wind chill, and the wind chill on this mountain just brings the temperatures to ridiculous places. In 2004, they were having a, you know, minus 43 degree Fahrenheit day, and they were also having 87 mile per hour winds, and the resulting wind chill was negative 102 degrees Fahrenheit.
Bundle up because it's cold out there.
Guys, I climbed the mountain and my penis shattered off.
Well, one of the researchers that went out to check some equipment came back with frostbite on his nose in under 60 seconds.
Goodness.
So just to translate that last bit, that was a day that started at negative 42 degrees Celsius with 140 kilometer per hour winds, and the wind chill took it down to negative 74 degrees Celsius.
Who do you have to piss off to be stationed at this weather center?
It's actually a pretty popular tourist destination. And, you know, if you're a meteorologist, this mountain is just gold. Like, it's just got weather for days.
We got weather every day.
If you're a meteorologist, yeah, you can immediately predict the weather on this mountain.
Cold. Very cold.
Probably
we're
snow.
We're going for our next honeymoon.
And that concludes our acid pop quiz.
That mountain sounds too dangerous. Let's get rid of it.
Yeah. We'll just chop it off at the bottom.
Well, if we stopped watering it, it would stop growing.
So I've got a handful of stories here. I wanted to start with my inspiration for this episode, which was Dr. John Stapp. So, Dr. Stapp, born in 1910 and died at the ripe old age of 89, he was probably the human with the greatest aspiration to be a crash test dummy ever.
Really want to be a part of that band.
Yeah. After receiving his PhD in 1939, he entered military service and eventually found his way to the Aero Medical Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio, as a project officer and medical consultant. And he was frequently the test subject of his own tests. These included testing various oxygen conveyance systems at 40,000 feet to combat the bends, testing how fast a pilot can fly without a canopy, which he went up to 570 miles per hour or 917 kilometers per hour in a plane with no windshield.
The bugs at that speed are just murder.
And he conducted some of the first high-altitude skydives.
Did he at least wear a parachute?
Yes, he did wear a parachute.
No, he got caught by a plane with no canopy.
So in 1954, the Air Force wanted to find out, they were trying to build ejection seats, and they needed to know how fast they could blast somebody out of a plane before just that alone killed them. So they were ramping up these tests.
Put the doctor in the seat.
Yeah. So they called Dr. John Stapp. Basically, what the Air Force did is they built a rocket sled on a track that could decelerate to zero in a matter of seconds, and then they would put people in it and blast it down this track. And they kept stepping the tests higher and higher and higher.
When we end up with goo, we've gone too far.
Yep. Dr. Stapp rode this machine 28 times before... before his final 29th attempt. Oh, and in the 28 times, he broke several bones along the way. But on his 29th attempt... Stapp reached 632 miles per hour, or 1,017 kilometers per hour, which at that time he broke the land speed record, before decelerating and experiencing 46 Gs.
Before disintegrating.
Yeah, just about. He burst all the blood vessels in his eyes, cracked several ribs, and broke both his wrists.
Ugh.
But he did survive.
Broke his wrist just from G-force?
Yep. And with that, the Air Force found their ceiling that they could no longer break.
This is the line we shouldn't cross.
Oh, God, his eyes popped. Write that down as a negative.
Crank it back just a tad.
How fast do you think we have to go to so that the seat stays? The seat keeps going, but the man stays in place.
So, yep, that was Dr. John Stapp.
Good for you, Dr. John. He's like, I'm so smart, I may as well just keep on testing myself.
That's the thing. He went on for another, 40 years?
And went on to father Evel Knievel.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I like to imagine it wasn't that he was super into speed. He was just very accommodating and couldn't get anyone else to sign up.
No, I got it.
Fine. I can do it.
I don't know. I picture it the opposite of Romero. I was like, any volunteers? I mean, my name's at the top, but if anybody else wants to go.
When Kelly said, I thought maybe he had anxiety and he couldn't bring himself to ask anybody else. Do you guys think you could put me in the chair?
Dr. Woody Allen.
So our next story is a train callback, which we talked a little bit about high-speed trains. And there was actually not too long ago a high-speed train accident. So on July 24th, in Santiago de Compostela, in Spain, a train traveling from...
Is that the saint of compost?
I guess it must be. A train traveling from Madrid to Ferrol approached a bend in the track that had a posted speed limit of 80 kilometers per hour, or 50 miles per hour. Unfortunately, the train was going 179 kilometers per hour, or 111 miles per hour. So when it hit the curve, it flew off the track. And of the 222 people on board, 140 were injured, 79 were killed, and the remaining three are being monitored for superpowers.
They called me Mr. Glass.
So an official that arrived at the scene called it Dante-esque.
You know, the level of hell where they put train accidents.
Okay, what sort of sin do you have to do to be put
conductor.
On? Like you have to be put on a train to crash forever.
Oh God!
So it came out in the investigations that the driver was talking on the phone while consulting a map at the time of the accident.
It's also playing Words with Friends.
He was charged with 79 counts of homicide by professional recklessness.
Oh, so he lived.
Professional recklessness.
Yeah. Yep, yep. He was one of the handful of survivors.
Kind of sounds like a really cool crime to be charged with, though.
Yeah.
I'm professionally reckless.
Yeah, something to put on your resume.
Yeah. I have a license in recklessness. Certified.
Vindicated.
So, yeah, he went to jail, and the judge basically said that they placed all of the blame squarely on the driver's shoulders.
Well, yeah. I was wondering why he was doing 115 kilometers per hour, you said?
Well, 179 kilometers per hour.
Oh. See, that's way above the posted speed, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't one of the police trains pull him over?
They were, but they were on the next track.
They're on the same track. We can't get around him.
And for our final story, I wanted to talk about the euthanasia coaster.
You don't have any of those coasters in here, do you, Andy?
Your drink is sitting on one right now.
Oh, no.
It's signed by Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
So this was a roller coaster designed by a PhD candidate named Julio Jones Urbonas, and he was going to the College of Art and Design in London. Basically, the design for this coaster starts with a 1,670-foot drop, or 510 meters, and this brings the coaster up to terminal velocity. From there...
At which point you die.
Pretty much, because from there, the coaster enters a series of seven loops, each one with a tighter diameter than the one before it. So this makes a consistent G-load of 10 Gs for a duration of 60 seconds, which will definitely kill any person that gets into this coaster. And so in an interview, Dr. Obone says he designed this as an elegant and pleasant way to kill people.
Also as a joke.
I mean, come on. At the end, there's a giant target, and we raise the bar and suddenly stop the coaster.
I want to be in the class where your master's project is death machines.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty cool class.
I didn't go to school to evil medical school for 4 years to be called Mister. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the guy who invented the guillotine graduated from there.
Yeah. Just to be clear, he did receive his PhD, so clearly it was enough to pass.
Well, he threatened to put someone in the coaster.
Churning out supervillains for a better tomorrow.
I feel like his elegant and pleasant comment means that he's never been in a plane going those sort of G-forces, because it's, from what I've seen, it's pretty miserable.
Yeah.
I vomit everywhere. And
I watched a lot of videos for this episode about people going through the vomit comet. And yeah, it basically looks like your skull is trying to escape your head.
How elegant and pleasant.
Yeah.
It's like poetry.
Beautiful.
You know, we all have our own sense of aesthetics.
I want to have sex with that guy. Now, Grimace, boy.
You don't understand. At the very top of the mountain, there's a Yeti, and he's like Boogie. It's very much like the Matterhorn.
Turning into Kissinger.
Dr. Henry Killinger.
And that was all the stories that I had. Anybody have any personal speed stories?
The only one I can think of that was unpleasant was I was on a roller coaster when I was, I don't know, 15 or 16, that had like a, I can only describe it as like a toilet bowl corkscrew. Like it got smaller and smaller as you went down.
Uh-huh. You were like one of those coins in those donation machines.
Yeah, kind of like that. And I lost control of my neck.
Oh, I thought you were going to say balance.
So my head was just kind of flopping. And I couldn't gain control of it again. I was like, I'm going to die.
To this day, Andy cannot turn his head voluntarily.
Nope. And that's how he invented the bobblehead.
I remember a really bad windstorm we had here once upon a time.
Yeah.
I remember I was outside opening all of our gates so they didn't just blow open and fly away. And I saw the neighbors, they were going to go work on theirs. So I went across the street to help them open theirs. And I was trying to get back across the street to my house, and I was having trouble making headway against the wind.
Yeah.
And I think later that day was the same time, the same windstorm that we were sitting in the kitchen and saw like pieces of the fence lift up off the ground and fly towards the house dangerously close.
I think it was that same windstorm that picked up our family's trampoline and put it, like, it slammed it against another family's house.
Yeah, our neighbor gained a trampoline in that windstorm.
Yeah, I was working at Target at the time when that windstorm happened. And first thing we had to do was go out and get all of the shopping carts because they were blowing across the parking lot at like 40 miles an hour and crashing into cars.
You had to tie them to heavy rocks.
Well, we got them all inside, but then the big metal shopping cart return thing started blowing across the parking lot. So we had to go tie those.
There's no protocol for this.
So we had to go outside and tie those to some trees and hope that the trees didn't blow away. But I basically, on one of those trips outside, I walked to the curb and I was facing away from the wind and I jumped straight up and I landed about 3 feet from where I jumped.
But Adam, if Target has taught me anything, it's that there's no protocol for anything. So
what's the fastest you've ever gone?
I've been in a plane.
And planes are really fast.
That's true. I didn't think about planes. That makes my question.
Got a boring answer.
Yeah.
You've never gone on land.
I've driven with shops, probably about 200.
I remember when I was driving from Florida to Nevada, I went across a highway in Texas where the posted speed limit was like 90 or 95.
Yeah.
And then, you know, nobody's around. You can push that another five miles per hour or so.
Yeah.
Like I said, I went down to Lancaster with Sean, and we got pulled over for speeding twice.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely the fastest and most consistent I ever went, because we were going to a convention down in Lancaster, and I don't remember why. I think I was determined not to be in the Rockies at night, so I really wanted to get there before sunset.
That's when the wolves come out.
Yeah, I really wanted to get there before sunset, and we ended up getting delayed, and there were some things we had to go do at Andy's place, and by the time we left, it was like 1 o'clock and the sun set at about 6 o'clock. And so I just looked at it and I was like, buckle up, because we're going to make it before the sun goes down. Yeah. And I made it. I made it in, which the trip from Reno to LA is, you know, if you Google it, it says it should take about 8 hours. And I think we made it in just under five.
Yeah. Wow. I think Sean pushed it. And well, that was the first time we went. The next time we left in the morning and got there at like noon.
Yeah. And yeah, I got two speeding tickets on that trip. And for one of them, the cop came up. He's like, I clocked you going 90 miles an hour. And I had to bite my tongue not to say, oh, you must have caught me going up a hill.
I don't like to go fast.
We're going to move on to what are your morals worth? Here's the deal. You are strapped in to the Vomit Comet. And I will pay you $500 if you can go up to 2 G's and not pass out or throw up. However, if you can go past that, I will multiply that by 3 for every additional G that you go. So just so you don't have to do the math, that means if you go 3 G's, you'll get $1,500. 4 G's will get you $4,500. 5 G's will get you $13,000. 6 will get you 40,000, 7 will get you 120,000, 8 will get you 364,000, and 9 will get you $1,000,000. Though 9 is about as high as Air Force pilots can go before they die.
This is all based on whether I don't pass out at 2.
Well, to let you guys know, most people pass out between 4 and 5.
Yeah, but
see, but here's the thing. You said I couldn't vomit either, and here's the problem. I can't go on like 5 roller coasters a row without being sick.
I can't go on a single Ferris wheel, so.
You can give me a $500, please.
I would shoot for 3, but I don't know if I'm going to make it. I have no idea. I don't really have anything to base it on.
Based on my roller coaster experiences, 2 G's, if I make it.
I usually do pretty good on roller coasters.
I love them, but I'll throw up on you.
Oh, I'm shooting for 6. I think I can make 6.
You can make 6?
That's what I want. And honestly, I think...
You don't want to go as fast as Dr. Speedchair?
No. 42 is more than enough.
How much you taking, Kelly?
Oh, I'm going to try for 2, but I'm not going to make it. I can't handle buses.
They are pretty scary. Down.
Is that like, that's another speed story, I suppose. That's just the time we went to Los Angeles and... The buses, like, we went to Medieval Times, and the buses shut down, so we had to try to walk back to Disneyland.
Yep.
Except at one, like, a couple guys were like, no, there's supposed to be a bus at, like, 11. So a bunch of us walked, and then we get a text message like, the bus is coming, and he's going way too fast. We got on this bus at, like, 11 o'clock, and the guy must have been doing 70 to 80 miles per hour in a big bus.
Sean's mom took us through the Sierra Nevadas at some impressive speeds last time we went up that way.
She was doing about 70 through these hairpin turns in the Rockies, where on one side you have a cliff going up to smash into, and on the other side you've got a cliff going down to fall off of. And she was just casually driving with one hand on the wheel. But we lived, so that's good. All right, well, I think that's all we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.